Hello, this is Dave Jeffrey wishing you a very happy new year. Welcome to our first edition of Optimal Life for 2021. Being the first edition for the year, we're going to look at ancient New Year's Eve parties. Sometimes they went for days. And tracing ancestry, something that interests us a bit more as we age. First up today, ancient New Year's Eve parties and where it originated from, the calendar, etc. It is taken from the Sydney Daily Telegraph New Year's Eve edition. Written by Troy Lennon, it begins, "Most New Year's Eve parties in Australia start early in the evening and continue on till the early hours of the morning. When in ancient Mesopotamia, they really knew how to bring the New Year in. Festivities lasted up to 12 days. It was called Akatu, a name derived from a Sumerian term for harvesting barley. It was held from the date that the first full moon after the spring equinox in the Northern Hemisphere. This meant late March or early April, since the equinox falls around March the 21st. To be fair to the modern New Year's Eve revelers, the Mesopotamians were not staying awake and drinking alcohol the whole time. There were some taxing rituals. These included daily parades that involved carrying images of the gods through the streets. Given that they often liked to carve images of the gods in stone or cast them, clad them in metal, it could have been a tougher task than it sounds. Perhaps the most taxing role was taken by the king. He had to enter the temple of Marduk and kneel to a statue and submit to ritual humiliations. These included being dragged in by the ears. He was stripped of his finery. Then he was slapped. It was meant to be a gesture of submission to Marduk. If the king was brought to tears, it was a sign that Marduk had been appeased. The king's term would be extended. Until next year, that was. Until he had to be slapped and dragged again. The Mesopotamians were the great ancient astronomers responsible for dividing the year into 12 months. They were among the first people to devise ways of observing the passing year. They used the precession of 12 specific constellations. These are now known as the zodiac. They went across the sky as a guide. Celebrating the new year at the same time every year was important for knowing what time to sow seed and to harvest. The Romans also celebrated the start of their new year in March. Why? Because it was both the start of the spring and the beginning of the campaigning season. Then conditions were perfect for war. This is why month of March, or Martius in Latin, is named after Mars. Mars started out as a fertility and harvest god, but became the god of war. The Pontifex Maximus, the chief priest of Rome, had the authority to add an extra month when March did not match the spring. This system did not work well, so in 46 BC they made another change. Gaius Julius Caesar decided, on the advice of Alexandrian astronomer Sosigenes, to reform the calendar. He did this by starting the year in January, which was fitting since it was named after the god Janus. Now Janus had two faces, one looking forward and the other looking back. The celebration of New Year on January the 1st soon spread throughout much of the Roman Empire. Well, interesting there, looking at the evolvement of New Year, the Mesopotamians, they were the first ones, they divided the year into 12 months. The Romans celebrated the start of their New Year originally in March. That's because it was a good time for war. Then they changed it in 46 BC and made January the beginning of the year. Just adding there, Janus, or January's named after Janus, or Janus, who had two faces, one looking forward, one looking back. We're going to look now at tracing our ancestry. This article, written by Greg Barron, is entitled Researching Your Family History. Richer than any fictional story, family history is steeped in the cycles of birth, life, work, and death. It's as much a journey as a process. You'll learn the major events that caused the movement of vast numbers of people to British colonies, the Irish famines, the Industrial Revolution, pogroms and battles. You'll come to understand the formative stages of the Australian character, the periods of pastoral expansion, the frontier conflict, gold rushes, droughts, floods, world wars, health, and disasters like influenza epidemic. Having researched dozens of family trees through the course of my writing and research, I can categorically state that no family has uninteresting forebears. Scratch the surface and you'll find madness, illegitimacy, criminal behaviour, sexual liaisons, matches that were most definitely not made in heaven. Prepare yourself for some shocks. Plan to spend a lot of time and money and expend frustration and pleasure in equal parts. All right, it's got several headings here. First one, getting started. A decade or two back, the best way to start a family tree was to obtain a large sheet of paper, pencils, and a ruler. Then start interviewing elderly relatives. Digging up birth certificates and wedding albums might have followed. Then the long process of drawing up a family tree. These days, though, you'll save a lot of time by using one of the big family tree websites, such as Ancestry or MyHeritage. Although I would still suggest that you glean as much information from the family members as you can before you get started. Ancestry has a free version in which you can sketch out your tree, although when you try to search for records, you'll go to a page asking for a subscription fee. My advice, if you can afford it, pay it. It's about $180 annual fee for a UK subscription. It's well worth it. The world subscriptions are far more expensive. Most people, however, can do all research that they need in 12 months. Then ditch the subscription if you're on a budget. The app version works well on iPad too. Plus, you can choose to pay only for the records that you really want. The first step is to add yourself to the tree, then your spouse, parents, and children, including birthplaces and middle names. Then hit the search button, and the website engine will start looking for records. Unless you have a very common name, you'd soon be able to populate your tree with your forebears. Warning, this is a very addictive activity. If you don't want to, or you can't pay, there's a free website based in the USA. That will at least get part of the way for you. It's called FamilySearch.org. It's totally free, though it does not have as comprehensive records as Ancestry. Another free alternative is wikitree.com, although, once again, it is aimed more towards the USA and the UK than it is towards Australia. This site takes a biographical approach. It's very handy for getting hits on particular names. However, it's not so good for mapping out an entire tree. Online searches can be frustrating. You'll often hit roadblocks, and it might seem that there's no way forward. Success, however, might be just one snippet of information away. You might spend hours fruitlessly searching for your grandfather's birthplace, but a mention of a possible region from a relative. Add this to the profile. Suddenly it leads to a torrent of results. The next heading is birth, death, marriage, and travel records. Each state has their own system. Most allow you to search for the name and date fields. Also, multiple events of the same time, that's births and marriages, deaths and even travel. Most of these allow you to purchase PDF files of these records online or paper copies by post. I have found that Queensland and Victoria have the most user-friendly interfaces. PDF records are available instantly and most seem to contain quality images. Once you receive an original record, be prepared to spend some time trying to decipher the handwriting. Archival clerks were often in a hurry, plus letters were formed somewhat differently in those days. The next heading is Trove, T-R-O-V-E. Trove is an online database operated by the National Library. It's a treasure house for researchers. Also great for writers, family history enthusiasts. One evening, my father was telling me how he could vaguely remember that two of his small cousins were killed in a house fire in Parramatta. He remembered it was in the 1950s, but he could not remember much more about it. A minute later, after a quick search using my iPad, I was reading him a newspaper article about the fire. It included eyewitness accounts. When you first go to Trove, you'll find that it's divided into the following sections. Digitised newspapers, government gazettes, journals, articles, data sets, books, pictures, photos, objects. There's music, sound and video, maps, diaries, letters, archives, archived websites from 1996 until now, people and organisations and lists. I generally start with digitised newspapers and more. The best tool to use here is the advanced search feature. Choose the time and period that you're after, then newspapers and articles are most likely to appear in. Next heading, state libraries. All Australian state libraries now have a portion of their collections available online. These are available starting points for your research. Digital image collections, for example, can be a mine of information. This is particularly if your relative was a public figure. If you are located near a capital city, I suggest that one of the first things you should do is join the relevant state library. Not everything is online, and if you're looking for missing records, station records, church records, institutional records, employment records, there may even be old books and the like, you can't go past the state library. Membership can also have substantial benefits for the family history researcher. If you join the State Library of South Australia, for example, you may submit up to 4 requests for research assistance each year. You'll get home access to a number of full-text family history resources. You'll have archival resources, including images. These can be delivered to the reading room for you to study. Next heading, National Archives. The National Archives offer a dedicated family history section of their website. Just go to naa.gov.au. Click on Researching Your Family. The National Archives holds records on people who might have migrated to Australia, become an Australian citizen, applied for a relative to visit from overseas, served in the Army, Air Force or Navy, who'd enrolled to vote, registered a patent or a trademark. They might have worked for the government. It's usually the best place to obtain military records because many of these are listed. To search this database, you'll need a name and dates indicating when the person you are searching was active. Now we look at the subject of local records. Some of the best records are not online at all. The best way to access these records is often through a local historical organisation. They can often search records for you, usually in return for a small donation. Local history books often published by local councils or historical organisations contain a lot of information that you'd never find online. Now the heading, graves. These have a wealth of information, and they're often overlooked. There are several online resources such as australiancemeteries.com.au. But many cemeteries have their own websites. In most cases, you can search for names and obtain a plot number for you to visit. Photographs of headstones are also a bonus. This is in cases where you're unable to travel to the cemetery in person. We look now at the subject of difficult cases. Very common names like Smith and Jones make searching very difficult. So many irrelevant results are obtained. My advice in this case is to arm yourself with as much factual information as possible. Birth, date, middle names should be a minimum before any meaningful results from online researchers are obtained. Finally, we look at the heading DNA tests. The latest development in family history research is a DNA testing service. The best known is run by Ancestry.com. They use autosomal testing technology to discern your genetic ethnicity and, through their databases, help find new family connections. They claim to map ethnicity back through multiple generations. Many people learn which region of which continent their ancestors are from. The most powerful aspect of ancestry DNA is that it can help identify relationships with unknown relatives through a list of DNA matches. Finally, researching your family is a history of labour and a labour of love. There's always a way to delve deeper. Searching Your Family History, written by Greg Barron. You're with Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Another topic as we age is money, pension, and our home. We're going to look at, does the money from selling your home affect your pension? This is an article taking from the net. Andrew is planning to sell his home, but is worried about the proceeds might stop his pension. He says, my wife and I wish to sell our house and move into state in the new year. We are both on a pension. We plan to sell our home, move into state, and then buy a new home. If we were to put the proceeds of our current home sale in the bank until we buy, would that impact on us getting the full pension that we now receive? If it will affect our pension payments, is there a solution to overcome this situation? Well, you'd have to say, pretty good question, and perhaps a fairly common one. Okay, the answer. Little vague, but I guess they have to be in this case. It says it will really depend on your current financial situation. When you sell your principal residence, the proceeds from the sale that exceed the amount you intend to spend on your next home are assessed as an asset immediately. If you are planning to spend roughly the same amount of money on a new house as what you sold your old house, then the situation is different. The amount of the sale price that you intend to use to purchase a new residence can be an exempt asset for a period of up to 12 months. Simply, this is to give you time to choose a suitable new home. Should something prevent you from doing so within the time frame, you can apply to Centrelink to have this period extended. They can generally extend for a further 12 months. However, all the proceeds from the sale of your home that are held as financial assets, in your case, putting the money in the bank, these are deemed to be earning income. Any deemed income will be assessed under the income test. This will affect your pension payment. Well, I guess it's the old story there, selling a house to buy a new one. If you sell it for more than you buy the new one, it's a taxable asset. However, you can get 12 months to do it and a further extension of 12 months if you need it. Well, one of the biggest topics as we age, I guess, is aged care decisions, guide to home care packages. This is taken from a website entitled Aged Care Decisions, and it's dated December the 7th, 2020. For many seniors, the aged care journey does not always start with or even include residential aged care. In fact, with over 130,000 elderly Australians who are currently assigned home care packages, it seems staying at home is now the more preferable way of receiving aged care assistance. Okay, we're going to look at several headings here. Firstly, what is a home care package or an HCP? Home care packages are a way for the elderly to access affordable care at home. This is as opposed to an aged care facility. Home care package recipients can access a variety of services. These help them keep them safe in their home and connected to the community at the same time. Okay, how do I get a home care package? Well, to access home care packages, you first must complete an Aged Care Assessment Team, that is ACAT. It's used to work out your care needs and if you're eligible to receive a home care package. This assessment can be organised by your local GP, hospital, or directly through My Aged Care. Now, the next one's important. What services can I receive? Well, it says depending on the service level, home care package recipients can get assistance with a range of different services. Broadly, you'll be able to get assistance with the following service: personal care, nursing services, allied health and therapy services, cleaning, food nutrition, home maintenance and modifications, assistive technology, transport, social support. And more specifically, you may even be able to get access to such things as help with bathing, showering, toileting. You might get assistance with getting in and out of your bed, reminders to take your medicine, wound care management, meal delivery services, help with preparing your meals, help with the ironing and the laundry. Light gardening work could be done for you. You could possibly get help with your shopping, visiting health practitioners, and attending social activities. All right, how do the fees work? Being approved for a home care package means that the government will subsidise the cost of your care. There are three types of fees associated with home care packages. These you may be asked to pay. Now, it's means tested. I'm just adding a reader's note here. It says you may be asked to pay this. So give them a call, get assessed, and see what your situation is. Okay, the three fees. One is the basic daily fee. Now, your provider, again, may ask you to pay a daily fee. I repeat that. Your provider may, not necessarily, your provider may ask you to pay a daily fee. The cost of this fee is based on your home care package. Secondly, there's an income-tested care fee. Some people may also be asked an income-tested care fee for their income over the maximum income for a full pension. Well, that made sense. Again, it's means-tested. The third fee is additional fees, a little vague, but it says you may also agree to pay additional fees for additional care and services. These are care and services that would not otherwise be covered by your home care package: exit fees, administration fees, etc. All right, one of the important questions now. How long do I have to wait before I can receive help at home? Once your aged care assessment has been completed, you'll receive a letter from My Aged Care. This will advise you if you have been approved for a home care package. Now, if you've been approved, the letter will also state which level your approval is for. It is important here to remember that being approved for a home care package is not the point which the subsidised funds will become available to you. Once you are advised that you've been approved, you will then go on a waiting list. You remain on that waiting list until a package at your approved level becomes available. It says here that you can wait 12 months or more, but I believe waiting times can be much longer than that. Now, when a package at your approved level or below that becomes available, My Aged Care will write to you. They'll advise you that you have been assigned a home care package. This letter also states at what level you've been assigned at. If you'd like to accept the home care package that's been assigned, you have 56 days from the date of the letter to appoint a home care provider. The home care provider will then organise the care services to be provided for you. Okay, this is important. Now, you've got to get assessed for a home care package. Simply go to My Aged Care. Now, whether you need it or not, do it now. I don't want to sound standoverish here, but it is important. Whether you need it or not, do it now. And whilst there's nothing wrong with being in aged care, if, however, you do not wish to go into aged care, prefer to stay at home, ring ACAT today. That's the ACAT assessment team. They'll put you on the waiting list and tell you when they're ready. And even if you don't need it, it's best to be ready on the list. This is Optimal Life, and we have a wonderful sponsor for this program, Seniors Rights. As the name suggests, they offer free legal advice for seniors. Things like body corporate, aged care problems, your money, wills, estates, etc. They offer free advice, and in many cases, they'll give you free representation. 1-800-424-079. That's Seniors Rights, 1-800-424-079. They're a wonderful and worthy sponsor of this program. Well, that's all we have time for in the program today, and a very, very happy new year to you as well. Look forward to your company again soon. Bye now.